Caitlin.
What the fuck was that?
Hey, I'm not good at this.
Oh, God. You like, when you said horribly awkward podcast, there was no exaggerating. This is the most horrifyingly awkward podcast I have ever been on.
It Perfect.
Even brought out, though I am usually an eloquent and magical and elegant butterfly, you have made the most awkward sketch scene to open this podcast possible. Like doing sketch comedy with Michael Scott.
Hey there, rock stars. This is Josh Redding.
And Ray Smith.
From the Tangent Break Podcast. Let's put life on pause because it's time for a tangent.
No. It's time for Horribly Awkward.
Hey there, everybody. This is Dave from Bad Cop Show. You are listening to the Horribly Awkward Podcast live from Sean's mother's basement.
Hey. This is a dragonfly from Pure Gasmic Love Podcast. You're listening to the Horribly Awkward Podcast. Yes, you are.
Hello, everybody. This is Jerry from Bad Cop Show. You're listening to the Horribly Awkward Podcast, a member of the great and stellar
BS Podcast Network.
The BS Podcast Network.
The BS Podcast Network.
Hey, did you bring the batteries? I asked you to.
Batteries are included.
Well, no, I told you I needed some 12-volt batteries so we can get into this time machine and go back to yesterday and do yesterday's podcast, because BS Podcast Network is pissed off that I did not meet my Sunday deadline.
Oh. I only brought AA batteries because I thought that it wasn't a real time machine and that it was by Mattel.
How many did you bring?
I brought 12 AA batteries.
Okay, if I take all the wiring out of this house and we wire all 12 of these batteries together, we can do a one-way trip back to yesterday.
Are you sure we can make it all the way back to yesterday with just AA batteries?
If we got 12 and I got all these wires, yeah, and I got some duct tape and I got some super glue and I got some eyewash just in case.
Oh, well, if you've got duct tape, MacGyver, then of course we can go all the way back to yesterday with 12 AA batteries.
Yeah, so we got to go back. I'm not sure how to do the settings. If you want to do the settings, if you want to fiddle with it, it's kind of hard to understand. There's a manual right here if you want to look into the manual.
This manual is 150 pages. By the time I finish this manual, we will be going back a whole week.
If you read the manual now, it doesn't matter how long it takes. We can still go back to it before you read it. So it's like we save time.
Well, 12 AA batteries, bald MacGyver.
All right. Put the batteries in.
Okay, fine. Okay, put
all right.
Batteries in.
Batteries are in. They're wired up. Pull that lever. I'll close my eyes just in case we blow up.
Okay. We're in the past.
I think it worked. Hey, Caitlin, nice to meet you.
Oh my God. Our brains don't go in the past. We don't go in the past. We can only observe our past selves.
Oh no.
Bald MacGyver, did you forget how time travel worked? It doesn't give you amnesia.
It did for me.
That was just because you drank too much Jaeger, Bald MacGyver.
No! Sean, move out of the way. Real Sean, move out of the way. I'm at the real Sean, so you have to move the fuck out of the way because I need to get this podcast rolling.
Yeah, I guess we can still make deadline.
All right, sit in the corner. Sit in the corner. For the whole podcast, if you sit there, don't talk, and then afterward, I'll go back to the future if you give me more 12 AA batteries.
Fortunately, I was using a Ferris Bueller-style body double, so it's just me in the house right now.
This is super horribly awkward. I'm looking at myself, like, saying, sit in the corner, and he's looking at me with his pouty eyes, like, because past Sean's a bitch.
You were a Sean. Bitch yesterday, but today, you are a true hero.
That is true. So let's roll. Let's do this podcast. We're on Sunday night right now.
Hey, Normie, give me a horribly awkward.
I can't even control myself. It's so horribly awkward.
This is so awkward.
This is so awkward.
This is horribly awkward. No one off.
Horribly awkward.
Horribly awkward.
Horribly awkward.
Horribly awkward.
Horribly awkward.
Horribly awkward.
Horribly awkward. Sean, dude, you're horribly awkward.
Sean, I know you think this is weird, but it's not as weird as you think it is, dude.
Don't do that. It's awkward.
Welcome to Horribly Awkward, episode 32. I am your host, Sean. As always, another podcast and another kick-ass awesome guest, handpicked and delivered by me to your ear holes. Thanks for listening and or downloading. Click like and share it if you feel the urge. because word of mouth is a beautiful thing, so use what your mama gave you. I do have a voicemail. You can drop me a message about anything you would like. It's 510-600-3475. I would love to hear it. I would love to play it on the show. I have two voicemails today. One from Enos, which is a character on a 3S comedy podcast, which is a podcast that kicks ass. And also Scott Clark from The Gaming Outsider. If you want to type me out a message the old-fashioned way, you can at horriblyawkwardpodcast@gmail.com. On today's show, I'm super excited to do this round two. She does stand-up comedy. She does sound effects, as you just heard. She knows everything about comics. She does anime convictions. No, she doesn't do that. She does anime conventions. All kinds of fun stuff. Actually, this is going to be the coolest podcast ever. I'm calling right now. This is going to go number one in all the listeners' books for the best podcast ever. Caitlin McAtee, what's up? Woo!
Yay!
Yes! Yes!
Yes!
Yes!
Yes!
Okay.
Yes! I can only...
Yes! One more time.
Yes!
Okay. Okay.
Yes! Yes, I am Satan.
That was too nasty.
That actually scared Thor a little bit. He did not like that.
Thor doesn't like stuff. Thor is Caitlin's puppy, super young, and he likes to chew on extension cords and homework. Stuff
yes,
like
he
that.
Does. He loves to chew on stuff like that.
So, Miss Caitlin, how are you doing today?
Good, doing well. Got a new pupper who is a handful. You guys can probably hear him shuffling around in the background, eating everything on the couch.
Yeah, a new puppy is like a baby. It wants to explore. I mean, babies can't get up and walk around yet. Luckily, puppies are born with the ability to walk pretty much. But
pretty much.
You know, he just wants to get around and explore. I like to do shit like that. I don't chew on stuff.
Are you sure?
I'm not sure, but I like to explore, I guess. That's why I play video games most of my life. And
you accidentally leave the camera on, and like we see you chewing on an extension cord in the background.
Yeah.
Your roommate's like, Sean, no.
No.
No, like, Thor wouldn't be new. I was talking to Sean.
Oh, and then I get that puppy dog look and look up like... Don't, I'm just chewing on extension cords. I like to lick my fingers and stick them in the sockets. You know, whatever I get, whatever can get me a buzz. That's a natural buzz. Well, it's sort of natural, right? Electricity.
I think you should probably move somewhere where a buzz is legal to get instead of sticking your finger in electric sockets.
Well, I mean, I can get some sort of buzzes here. Yesterday when we were doing the podcast, I think I drank too much right off the bat and I lost focus really quick, which was interesting. And not didn't.
You drank a lot and I think had a little something else going on with that.
Definitely not something else. I can promise you that.
Just a lot of Jim Beam.
Actually, it wasn't that much. Yeah. The old me would go for anything and everything. I've been all down that road. But luckily I've been sober from any kind of drug abuse for 8 years. So count me out.
Congratulations.
Yay! Yeah, actually, I went like 5 years completely sober, and then I was like, I kind of want to drink, and drinking doesn't mess me up unless I'm on a podcast with you, I guess, and I lose focus.
Well, you know, most people when they're around me need to drink at least 8 gallons of alcohol per minute, but, you know, that's why a lot of my friends are dead. But speaking of being drunk and all of those soberness, there's a comedian friend of mine named Eric Mayers, and he has a cartoon show coming out called Court Ordered.
Oh, okay.
That's about his recovery from addiction and some of his stories from court mandated rehab and therapy.
I will check that out 100% because I like when people do creative things and they make them about realistic things they have gone through. That's fucking fascinating.
Yeah, they have a couple samples out right now, and they're almost done with the pilot. But they're working with a few guys from who are from the Newgrounds days. I don't know if anybody remembers Newgrounds, but a couple animators who were pretty cornerstone to the Newgrounds scene. They're working with, and it's all done in Flash. It's, you know, I know My Little Pony is one of the more popular all Flash done cartoon shows. So this kind of has the same shitty production value. But it should be really funny because Eric is a hilarious comedian. I think my favorite bit of his, you can find it on YouTube, is about how he used to party really hard on Ambien.
Just nodding out, like trying to, you just try to fight it. Like, I know there's people who do that, who take Ambien, and that's how they get off, by having sex, because they're like, they're going out of it so hard, but they're fighting staying awake and the adrenaline. And it seems like a fun time, I guess.
I guess. I don't know. He was talking about how he used to take Ambien in clubs. So not sex related. Because it wasn't a sex club. It was like a dance club. And he would pop a bunch of Ambien while everybody else is on ecstasy. So
that's fascinating.
Yeah, no, it's a really great... He's got about 1,000,001 great stories. So I definitely suggest checking him out on YouTube and checking out his cartoon show, Court Ordered.
I will.
Really funny.
What is that name again?
His name is Eric Mayers, and his cartoon show is Court Ordered.
I love that name.
Yeah.
That's like the best name ever. You figured it would be already taken, but it's not. That's fucking awesome. Yeah, I'm going to watch that and check that out.
Yeah, watch the shit out of that.
I will watch it 7 times.
Yeah.
7 times in a row.
Whoa.
So tell me, you were just telling me a story about the first time. I think you said it was the first time you did stand-up comedy.
Not the first time I did stand-up comedy, but the first time I ever performed in front of a really, really big audience.
Because I imagine it would be so nerve-wracking. I watched your YouTube videos, and I love how you're mean as fuck to the people in the crowd. The one standout thing is you call that dude seat reserved, which fucking made me laugh, like, out loud.
Mr. Seat Reserved.
And then he tripped. That was funny. was hilarious.
Oh, go on.
No, I'm saying that's hilarious. And I love that you're all dressed up. Like you say, like what you say, you're an elegant butterfly. What'd you say on that clip in the beginning of this podcast?
Oh, that I am an eloquent and elegant butterfly.
Yes, that is like you, but you do stand-up comedy. It's such a different combination from anything I've seen, and I was fascinated by it the moment I saw it. I was like, you're funny as shit. I send you a Twitter thing. I gotta have you on the podcast. And you're like, yeah, maybe later, maybe in a month, and. It's a month later.
And it's a month later, and I'm here. I like that everybody's caught up now. Like, that was a really concise, perfectly delivered summary of our interaction from then till now. I'm so happy you watched my videos. I didn't think anybody watched those.
I did. I watched them. There was a couple on there. I watched them. And I watched your unboxing or whatever it is of those weird little toys.
Yeah. That doesn't sound weird at all out of context.
No, oh, yeah, no, they weren't that, not those kind of weird toys. They were like little stuffed animals. What are they Tsum-Tsums, Tsum-Tsums?
Yeah, Tsum-Tsums. I fucking love Tsum-Tsums. I have some in the background right here for those of you watching on YouTube.
Yeah, it's like a little weird toy from Japan, I take it.
Yes, they're really, really cute. This is Chip from Chip and Dale in a little black cat costume for Halloween.
And Chip and Dale.
And he's stuffed with candy. Some of these are stuffed with candy. Yeah.
Holy shit.
That's why they are the best toys.
Do you reach like into their butt to get the candy out?
No, you just unzip their stomach pouch like Han Solo reaching into a Tauntaun.
Okay.
And there's all of these little candy organs inside, and then you eat them, and it's really good.
That would have been awesome if you like unzip the butt and just stick your hand in there and pull out like chocolate.
Why would that be awesome? I feel like that's already a candy toy in Japan, though, because they have like a thing about poop.
Do they?
Well, not like, I guess a weird thing about poop, but like some things, like it's not, like there was a toilet curry bar that had opened up there like 1,000,000 years ago. And then there were all of these little poop keychains that had all of these big anime eyes and shit. But I guess that might have been a trend years ago where things were shaped like poop. Another weird otaku trend years ago was pudding in the shape of boobs.
Wait, what do you mean by pudding in the shape of boobs? Like soft, like chocolate pudding?
Well, yeah, it could be chocolate pudding or it could be vanilla pudding. I mean, boobs come in a variety of colors, so does the boob snack.
But how is it in like a boob shape? Like it's like that's the plastic?
It's molded. Yeah, it's molded like a Jell-O mold in boob shape, and it has little nipples. And you could get them at the store in Akihabara.
I want some of those now. I want some.
I don't know if they still sell those. It was like a few years ago those were really popular, but they might still have them in Akiba. I didn't get a chance to go this trip, but
Japan seems like such an awesome place. And as we said yesterday, like all of our thoughts and prayers go out to Japan and Ecuador for all the earthquakes. Lots of huge earthquakes, 7.8, 7.3. Lots of people died. 235 yeah. people died in Ecuador, which is super sad. And Japan as well, 32 people died and lots of injuries. Oh, that sucks. That's
it's really difficult. Kyushu Prefecture was hit very, very hard by the earthquakes.
And it's like, it sucks because in California, I live in Fresno, and all I can complain about and bitch about is the heat in the summer. The winter is not bad. It's not super cold. It's like the summer gets hot and I'm complaining, and they're like, there's actual weather in all these places that could just kill you. And
well, I mean, an earthquake's not so much a weather issue as it is a seismic shift, but
yeah.
I mean, it's still pretty devastating, and it definitely gives you perspective when a huge tragedy hits somewhere else. And, you know, of course, there's donations that can be made to the Red Cross. There are a lot of people who are displaced from their homes and, you know, people who are in need of food, electricity, clothing, things like that.
Yeah, everyone should definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Boom.
Boom.
Bring it. Let's bring this back. Let's bring this back to the fun part. For real though, my thoughts and prayers out to everybody out there dealing with those tragedies, or anybody in the world, even on the East Coast, you're dealing with like snow that's like 4 feet. And I mean, maybe not now in April, but like that's crazy. I've never seen snow in person. It's so weird to me that there is snow that falls from the sky. I've never seen it. I've seen it. I've seen it in movies. It looks terrifying. I've seen it in my dream. Actually, you know what? My dreams are always nightmares. Every single one, 100% of the time. Bad dreams. Terrible dreams. But I never had snow in them.
You've never had snow in your nightmares.
No, but I have these terrifying dreams when I'm running from shit and I can't get away. Sometimes I can get a little flight and like fly for a minute. But it's terrifying. I'm always running from something in my dreams. Maybe I'm just running from myself because I'm such a terrible person, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Caitlin agrees. Yesterday you were ripping into me pretty hard. I felt bad all night. I cried a little bit.
Well, you know.
That's you, though. You do you, and I do me. I'm the bitch. And I take it.
No.
I'm
really sorry, but you can't say bitches take it when a bitch has been giving it to you that hard.
Oh, shit. Yeah. I don't know if I can repeat that, but I agree. I totally agree. Caitlin's an ass kicker. What do you want to do as far as your, stand-up comedy? What is your major plan to do it? What is your major... Okay, forget that I can't do sentences very well for a second.
That you cannot sentence super great.
Yeah, that's why it's called Horribly Awkward. I titled it something horribly awkward, so when I do fuck up, you're like, yeah, it's right. That's right. Or I'd be the super perfect podcast, which is not this podcast. What do you want to do with your stand-up comedy? Are you going to take it all the way?
I'd love to. I'd love to be a writer for a TV show. I've actually been currently doing this whole process of pitching TV shows, a couple TV shows to a few different networks. And it's been a really interesting process, just the whole pitching thing, because you don't see, you know, you can look up little life plans like how do I create a resume, how do I apply for a job, but how do I pitch a TV show to a network is definitely not something you can look up how to do. Because a lot of it is kind of crazy.
He's got your stuffed animal behind you. Thor's got your stuffed animal.
Oh, the one that's full of candy, of course. Okay. Thor.
Thor. I'm watching him get up there and eat it.
Thor, drop. Good boy. Good boy. Dropping that. Here. He dropped his stuffed animal, that's why. Thor. Thor. Thor.
Yeah, I can imagine pitching a TV show is something very unique. I never pitched anything to anybody. Yeah. That's why I do this all solo, because I just pitch it to myself and I agree most of the time.
That's a good idea. I mean, TV shows are really collaborative from the very, very beginning. So the show that we've been, I mean, what I ideally would like to become is I'd love to be a writer for a TV show. I'd love to be a full-time stand-up, but I really like trying out different jokes and different ideas on the audience as part of my stand-up, and different stories and situations as part of that too. So, I mean, that's kind of like my stand-up serves a different purpose for me. I mean, it'd be great to be able to become a super famous stand-up comedian, but ultimately, I'd like to be a writer. The show that we've been pitching and shopping around right now is called Back Issues. And it's about three guys and a girl that run a comic book shop together. And they're all sort of giant man/woman children running from their problems who think running a comic book shop is going to be really easy. But it's not. Not at all.
I like that. Yeah, I like that idea.
And it goes into sort of all the convention cultures and a lot of the nerd subcultures. And something we want to do with it is we want to have different YouTubers playing guest roles and guest starring on the show for various episodes. And a lot of it's story humor and situational humor. It's kind of like Always Sunny, but in a comic book store.
Okay. You got me. You definitely just pulled me in now. Always Sunny, the most random shit ever. It's funny. And how you throw it into a comic book store instead of a bar?
Yeah.
Fuck yes.
So we've been in negotiations with a couple different networks, and we're hoping that we hit something. It's been quite a process, and it takes a very long time. We're thinking about maybe just bypassing some of the initial pilot process and filming the pilot on our own and starting to shop it that way. Because we've gotten interest, and we've, you know, gotten a lot of meetings just based on the premise, but we haven't quite gotten our yes yet. So we feel maybe if we can film the pilot, we might be a bit closer to getting that yes.
Yeah, you just got to keep pushing and pushing, and then, you know, it what you put in is what you get back in the end eventually, you know.
Well,
a lot of people
well, in the creative industry, I feel like most of it is pushing and perseverance. You just have to keep working. Mm-hmm. And you have to take your criticisms and your rejections and your lumps, and you have to apply it to the next time. So, you know, the next network and the next show and the next everything.
Okay, you just mentioned three things that I am not a fan of and I cannot deal with because I'm a bitch. Criticisms, rejections, mm-hmm. and lumps. Okay, rejections, I fucking fear rejection more than anything in the entire world. Mm-hmm. That's why I stay home and just play video games.
See, I feel like if a bitch is taking rejection a lot better than you are, you can't really say you take rejection like a bitch.
All right, you keep referring to yourself as a bitch. I don't think that's true. I don't think it's true, Caitlin. I think we need to sit down and have an intervention right now because this has gone too far.
Okay.
All right, so, okay, let me get my paper out. I wrote a thing here for you.
Oh, intervention about my language.
Okay. Caitlin, since the first time I met you about a month ago, you were really awesome. Things started off pretty awesome. I write really big. I need to flip the page. Things got weird when you kept calling yourself and referring to yourself and demeaning yourself as a bitch. B.I.T.C.H. I'm going to flip the page. I write really big. I do not like this and hope things change. What'd you think?
I think that I don't view the word bitch as demeaning as you do. So that's why I keep calling myself a bitch.
That's awesome.
I think bitches are fucking queens, and bitches get shit done. That's the thing. A girl who's a little bit pushy and who can persevere a little bit and who can rip into people when she needs to.
Yes.
She's going to get shit done.
Whitney Cummings. Get shit done.
Yep. Get shit done.
Handle shit. She's like,
if
I'm a bitch.
If somebody called me a bossy bitch, I'd be like, thank you.
Yeah, you're like, Tina Fey, bossy pants.
Bossy pants. That's right. Same thing. Bossy bitch.
I wonder if Kristen Wiig's a bitch. Because that's like my celebrity crush. Like, she is so fucking hot. Kristen Wiig. I wonder if she's like cool in person. She doesn't have a Twitter. No one can reach out to her.
Sometimes that's for the best.
Yeah, I guess. You guys can all reach out to me, though, at @awkward_podcast. I do have a Twitter.
You can reach out to me. Just, like, don't tweet me your inane bullshit, because I don't really care about your day.
Okay, I'll remember that.
I'm just kidding. I care a lot. So, tweet me about your day, how it's going, if you had a bad day. Just, you know, kind of keep it to yourself.
Do
just
that.
Kidding. If you had a bad day, you can totally tweet me about your bad day. I may or may not.
Yeah. I'm tweeting right now about my bad day, right now. At that sea monster.
There was this girl on my podcast, and she was so mean to me.
Yeah,
and then I'll be like, Sean, I was on your podcast.
Yeah, oh. You know what? Let's do some shout-outs.
Why?
Whoa. Sean, it's not all about you. Do some shout-outs.
I just want to give a shout out to Scott and Josh from The Gaming Outsider who were on the podcast last week. If you heard it, you already know. If you haven't, it was fantastic. Go back and listen to it. I highly recommend it. What about you, Caitlin?
All right. Are you ready for this? Shout out to everybody.
Shout out. That's a cheap move. There's got to be some specifics.
Okay. Shout out to my friend Jessica.
Jessica.
Who hasn't done her first stand-up show yet, but absolutely should, because we got some hilarious fucking stories from Japan. Shout out to my friend Jamie, who is also my wife. Shout out to... Oh, man, who else do I care about?
Doesn't it suck?
Friend named Rika, who's like a really cool stone-cold bitch that works at a Japanese beer dispensary. She's a cool dude.
Japanese beer dispensary. Yeah, shout out.
Shout out to Rika. Rika Doko.
Rika. Rika, Jessica, and... What
Jamie.
Was the other one? Jamie.
She's like my wife. Oh, and Amanda. She's
and Amanda.
Chef.
Amanda, too. Amanda, I love...
History chef.
All those names. They all sound like great people. And
they are.
You got to keep pushing. You got to say, hey, Jessica, get on that. Get on the stand-up comedy train. All aboard.
She's a great writer. I don't know why she hasn't just, like, jumped up on the stage, ripped off that fucking Band-Aid, and been like, waka waka.
It's so hard. I imagine it's so hard. Like, when I used to deal with my social anxiety through, like, substances, and that kind of helped a little bit. It's like all of a sudden I went from like, oh, I feel so nervous around people to like, I love everybody. Everybody come hang out with me. Use me for my money and my stuff. And I don't mind because I have friends. True story.
I understand your anxiety feels. I also have really aggressive anxiety. So I understand.
Anxiety sucks. But I remember the very first time that I went... In church, I was doing the Celebrate Recovery program, all that stuff. I went in front of the church and did my testimony in front of like 500 people. And, oh, Jesus. I never read through something so fast. I was so nervous.
I mean, the tools that we use to kind of cope with it. I've always been a fan of cognitive behavioral therapy, which I got acquainted with because I was diagnosed with PTSD and anxiety. And I used stand-up as a way to kind of cope with a lot of fears and to sort of get myself used to being in extremely uncomfortable situations. Like this podcast is a really good use of that.
Yes, that's what I do. I'm a dummy. This is like me. There's no way I can clean it up, go, I'm going to just be professional. This is the Welcome to the Perfectly Podcasted Podcast. My name is Sean and I'm your host and I have Caitlin here. Caitlin is a stand-up comedian who is inspiring to start her own TV show or web series or something like that. And I'm just not good at being... I just be me, be stupid, say dumb things, and hopefully people listen.
I'm sure there's like 4 people,
well,
including me. I listen to like 1.
Uh-oh, which one?
The one that I'm on.
Oh, fuck yeah. Yeah, that's the one that never happened. We went back in time. So that's not happening yet.
Back in time, remember? Aren't you happy we went back in time?
Yeah, I mean, this is a great outlet for me, personally. And I wish I could do stand-up comedy. I love stand-up comedy. I listen to a lot of stand-up comedians' podcasts. You know, Bert Kreischer and Doug Stanhope and Joe Rogan. And all those guys have podcasts, and I listen to them. And it seems so fascinating. And the one common thing is, like, anxiety amongst most of comedians, which is weird.
It's I feel like it's really, really common with comedians to have anxiety or depression or some kind of crippling issue that we're all trying to get through our writing or through being on the stage. Like, I know for me, before I get up every time, I have to go throw up in the bathroom. And for a long time, I used to do that at open mics too. The anxiety of going up at an open mic at 2 a.m. with like 3 people in the audience was too much for me. So I would go into the bathroom and vomit before every show. And then I would get up and do my open mic in front of 3 people and go, that wasn't bad. But it took my body a really long time to catch up with the reality that going up in front of 3 people really isn't that bad.
Yeah, well, it doesn't matter if it's 3 people or 300. They're, you know, each person is individually looking at you the same as, you know, 300 people.
It really is the same. Like, the first time I did Anime Expo's late comedy show, that's a surprisingly big show. So most convention shows that I've done have been like, you know, 50 to 100 people, sometimes a lot less than that in each room. But then Anime Expo's late comedy show, this was before I started doing con shows regularly. I was just doing small club shows. But the late comedy show at AX, when the year that I won, was my first time in front of a really big audience. And the anxiety was almost exactly the same. You know, before that show, I probably popped 2 Xanax, threw up 2 times, and then paced in the back like I was a terrier, hopped up on cocaine. And at one point, I was lying down backstage with my hands over my head, just like, oh, God, let it end. Because in the audience at the late comedy show was about 1,500 people.
You only got one shot. You better. There's vomit on my sweater already. Mom's forgetting. He's nervous. But on the surface, she looks calm and ready to drop bombs.
It's true. I am about as terrible and as white as Eminem.
Eminem's not terrible. He's awesome. I'm gonna fit. That's my dog. What you talking about? And if I ever have a dog, it's gonna be a white dog named Eminem. He's gonna be a white dog that acts like a Rottweiler.
What?
Doesn't matter. Doesn't have to make sense, Caitlin. Moving on.
That was... What?
Did I say something? Edit. I just edited that out. Okay, so everyone just heard a... Oh, what happened?
Yeah, that was really weird.
I was like, at the perfect part.
At the perfect part.
Okay, something happened. Okay, that didn't just happen. And you guys are like, what? Yeah, it didn't happen because I erased it or edited it out, but I'm back.
Woo!
Yeah, there's so much excitement in this room. Caitlin, I have some voicemails. Actually, you know what? I gotta.
What do you need?
From my buddy Bryce Stevens over at the Axology podcast, he asks, what is your go-to music to brighten up your day? Caitlin?
I really like 7 Little Numbers by Boy, and then Lemon Tree by Fool's Garden.
I have no idea what those are.
Oh, those are the 2 songs that I like to listen to brighten up my day.
Seven Little Boys?
Also, Little Longer by Death Cab for Cutie. I like that song a lot.
Did you say 7 Little Boys?
No, what?
What did you say?
7 Little Numbers.
Numbers.
By Boy.
Okay.
Boy. I'm really, 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 really bad with... I mean, I'm not bad at a lot of things, but I'm terrible at remembering album versus artist / group names. But Little Wanderer by Death Cab for Cutie, 7 okay. Little Numbers, and Lemon Tree, Fool's Garden. So, like, my top 3 pick-me-up songs.
I'm going to look those up. And I was saying, because if somebody tried to Google 7 Little Boys, that could be a very different kind of site.
Please don't.
Do not do that.
Please don't.
Okay, so I got a voicemail, which I should stop saying I have it and just pull it up. And I got it. Here we go.
Okay.
Hello, Sean. My name is Enos. You may have heard me occasionally on the 3 Is Comedy podcast. Occasionally, those folks still have me on their show. to share some etiquette tips that I like to share on the show. So I'm going to figure I'd share a few with you right now. These are Enos's etiquette tips. So here's number one. Never take a beer to a job interview or ask if they press charges. That's very important to do that. Also, always identify people in your yard before shooting at them. That's very important. I've made that mistake many times before. Also, one more for you here, Sean. It's considered tacky to take a cooler to church. Now, I've done that and pulled out a beer, and the preacher wasn't very happy with me. But anyway, I just want to let you know, Sean, man, I love your show. I've been listening all the time. In fact, I don't even listen to Three is Common anymore. I just listen to your show now. So, hey, take care, brother.
Thank you. That's Jason from Three is Common. Actually, it's not. That's Enos. Enid. What was his name? Enos?
Enos. Yeah. I didn't know Jeff Foxworthy changed his name.
Thanks for the voicemail. For real, though, I actually left him a voicemail. They probably played it on today's podcast, I think, for Three is Comedy. You probably hear me over there. Jason and his wife, Mindy, who do the podcast with another co-host named Bob, really great show. I'm going to have them on here soon. Really, really fucking well-produced podcast. It blows my mind. And they listened to one of my podcasts on the way when they took a road trip. They listened to it, and they always have nice shit to say. So I really thank you guys. Aww. I really appreciate that.
I would really like for Enos to give me etiquette tips on how to behave at a tea party.
Okay.
Kind of tea party is up to Enos?
So you heard that, right? So get on that, leave me a voicemail, and I will... You can send that one to at that sea monster, if you want. Or you can send it to me, I'll play it on the show, whatever. And we want to know what's the etiquette for a tea party.
I want to hear it. I want Enos to like leave it on the voicemail because I really, really want to know. Maybe for both tea parties.
Oh, yes. We're going to make this a reoccurring thing. It's going to be awesome as...
Enos's etiquette lessons.
Enid. Was it Enid? Was it Enos? What was it? I'm going to find it right now.
Enos or Eunice?
I'll tell you right now.
It actually sounded a lot like anus.
It was Enos. It's E-N-N-I-S because I sent him a Twitter.
Anus. Anus.
Do not sit. One glass, one jar was a terrible video.
Oh. Why?
Why? No. I don't know.
Anus, no.
Oh, I like one glass, one jar.
Nobody Google that. So seven little boys and one jar are the do not Google list for
and two girls one cup.
Get a lot longer.
Two guys one cup. Sexy.
Why?
That's sexy. I got another voicemail from Scotty Clark, Mr. Scott Clark from the Gaming Outsider and Hollywood Outsider podcast. Scott's my bud, and it's a would you rather. So this could get dark. Scott's usually like the PG-13 guy, but I guess he thought he'd go all nasty on me. Let's see.
Shit.
Hey, Sean, it's Scott from the Gaming Outsider podcast. Just had a would you rather for you. It's an awkward one, so hope you're ready. First off, would you rather watch a videotape of your parents having sex, or would you rather jerk off with a handful of soft scrub? Have fun with that, man. Catch you later. Bye.
Well, thanks, Scott, for thinking of me and soft scrub and my parents having sex.
That's tricky. I feel like for a would you rather, the parents having sex one is pretty standard.
Mm-hmm.
As a female, I feel like the salt scrub would chafe and it would kind of suck, but I think I would rather do the salt scrub.
Your parents though, if he means my actual parents, my dad's been out of my life since I was just a little boy, it would just be like, oh, but no, Mom, I can't do that.
I think it's your real parent. I think it's your real parents, as in like your real emotional parents, not the ones that abandoned you.
Soft scrub it is. Soft scrub it is. I'll double it.
See, don't worry. I know your feel. I also have to choose between parent that abandoned and parent that is emotionally my parent. I pick emotionally my parent every time. So salt scrub.
Salt scrub, soft scrub, soft scrub.
Salt scrub.
Soft scrub.
I feel like if you got a finely granulated enough salt scrub, you could be okay. Or if it, he did say salt scrub, so it could be one of those really soapy salt scrubs, and those actually don't feel that bad.
I think he means soft scrub, which is like a bleach.
No, soft scrub?
Yeah.
I heard salt scrub.
Okay, we'll go with both. So neither one's bad.
I mean, I could deal with the bleach because girls bleach various parts of their bodies for pornography and aesthetic reasons all the time. So I assume it's not going to be that bad.
Well, people will do a lot to make themselves look pretty. You know what I mean?
Thor, what are you doing?
Nothing. I'm just hanging out with my boys, Cap to Cap and Hulkster. The Hulkster.
Oh no, Thor!
Did he eat an extension cord?
He literally just jumped from the couch over into his playpen.
Oh, he thinks he's a cat. Oh my god, your dog thinks he's a cat.
Oh no, he did a good job. Yay! Good boy!
Everyone clap for Thor.
Dedication! Dedication! Two treats for you, Thor! Two treats! Thor, your treats are right here.
Yay! This is real life right here, guys. This is the real deal.
So, okay, my dog just did something amazing, and now I'm regretting not filming it to show people later. He is so dedicated to going pee on the puppy pee pad, the training pee pad that we have in our apartment, mm-hmm. and getting a treat for it, that he jumped from the couch over the fence that is blocking his playpen where his pee pad is. So he jumped, and he's a tiny puppy.
Yes.
This is a big feat for a tiny puppy. Hang on. I'm going to show you what he just jumped. Okay.
Yeah, let's see it, guys.
This is what he just jumped. In order to go to the bathroom on the pee pad so he could get a treat.
That's awesome.
That's dedication. I have the best dog.
I know. He's like you're like a parent just watched your kid take the first steps right now. You're all joyful.
Instead of go to the bathroom in the living room, somewhere in the living room or on the couch, he jumped the fence to pee on the pee pad.
That's awesome.
I love my dog so much. I don't have to clean up a mess because he's so dedicated.
What a kick-ass dog. Yeah.
Thor! That was so cool! You're the best dog.
I need a Thor. I need a Thor, like, right now. I need a dog. I need someone to go who's not going to judge me. He'll just look at me and be my friend.
I was crying because I saw one of those Thai insurance commercials, and the insurance commercial was about a dog whose owner died and who got taken care of by a girl who used to be afraid of it. And I cried really hard. Because now I own a dog, and now I understand why people cry at dog videos. And Thor came up to me, and he sat in my lap, and he, like, kind of, like, took his paw and awkwardly pawed at my leg, as in, like, a, why cry? Stop cry.
And I was like, you're getting choked up. Are you okay? Are you going to be okay?
This is the best dog.
Yeah. Dogs know. They know when they feel your pain. Actually, they know when they feel, like, your anger. Are you stressed? Are you anything? I think they're very, you know.
Even though he's a little puppy, like he heard me starting to get choked up, and he came over to where I was like immediately and started whining so that I would pick him up and hold him. See, he's like the best dog, and he hates the car because I don't know why he hates my car though. He gets really really scared when he's in the car. And he won't stop crying until he's in my lap. And then he buries his head into my side and, like, doesn't come up until we've stopped moving.
Oh, pretty soon he's going to love it. He'll have his head out that window.
I think once he's bigger and gets used to the car, he'll like it a lot. But for right now, it scares him. And he doesn't like it. He's already really, really familially attached to us. And we are to him. But it's like, this is my first time really... you know, owning a dog and taking care of it. And so this is all new for me.
I need a dog. No, I need a dog.
It's actually really awesome. And I feel like in regards to like mental health stuff, it's really, I never felt this way about work, but I feel this way about my dog It's a sense of purpose to get up in the morning because he relies on me. So I'm super motivated to wake up and to take care of him and to make sure everything is tip top for him and to make sure everything is clean for him and to make sure everything is, you know, that he has a good environment. So it's actually been really cool in that regard as well.
That's that, you know, speaking of emotional support animals, I do have some would you rathers from Matt Bradford from ZombieCast and Video Game Outsiders, which I'll go over there in a second, but I have to bring this up. Actually, I heard this on my buddies at the Bad Cop show, which everyone should listen to their show because it's fantastic. But so I had to look this up to see if it was real, because the Delta Airlines allowed a turkey on a flight as an emotional support animal. There is pictures. There's a fucking scary looking turkey. I'm gonna see if I can show you with here.
That's such a scary turkey.
That is a fucking scary turkey. They have a turkey. Like he brings it through the airport on in a wheelchair, and brings a turkey on the flight. I don't know what to say. I honestly don't know what to say.
He's an emotional support turkey.
But what do they gobble? I don't know. What they are they gonna like see you sad and like put its little head on you? Like fuck no, turkeys don't give a shit.
Chickens? No, actually, chickens and turkeys apparently have a big emotional capacity. I still eat them, which I don't know how to feel about. I'm conflicted, but they do. I mean, it's true. They do have a capacity for emotional attachment in a very similar way to cats and dogs. Same with pigs. Pigs especially. Pigs are really smart.
Okay. They say, okay, speaking of pigs, they do say that one time they had to not allow a pig aboard. Not only did the flight allow the pig aboard, but Marks also had an easier time going through security, blah, blah, blah. But they didn't, they had to take the pig off because the pig was smelling. He was stinky.
Oh, it was a smelly pig.
It was a stinky pig. But, like, a turkey on a flight, like, that's fucking hilarious. I would never...
emotional support turkey.
I would never, forget that. That would be the best day ever. Even just to see the guy rolling through the airport.
I would love to see somebody cuddling a turkey. I feel like that would be both bizarre and really adorable. That's amazing. Look at this fucking turkey.
Like, that fucking face. That is gross. That's disgusting. It's just like, why am I here? Jesus Christ.
Oh, man. But a lot of animals can get registered as emotional support animals. Because it's, you know, it's emotional support. Whatever you bond with, I guess, becomes an emotional support animal. It kind of makes sense. I mean, if people rely on an animal for their anxiety or their PTSDs or their general mental health support, and you happen to bond with a really weird animal, oh, well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I guess. I mean, it is what it is. Like, love is love, right? I mean.
Love is love, even if it's with a turkey.
Love is love, even
if... I know I've loved quite a few turkeys in my time, so.
Have you really? I've never even touched a turkey. Like, a real turkey? I feel like they look like little dinosaurs. They're like little raptors. Like, fuck
Wait,
that.
Have you ever eaten turkey?
Well, yes, I've eaten turkey.
Then you've touched a real turkey.
You know what's weird? As I eat everything in turkey form, like I have turkey bacon, turkey ham, turkey sausage, turkey ground turkey for like taco meat, like everything. Like they take these turkeys and they make them into many different things that taste like other things. It's incredible. It's so incredible.
Are you high right now?
I'm not high, but why do you ask?
That sounds like stoner conversation.
Seriously, though, like because it does. Like, 4 years ago, I weighed 300 pounds, and I was like, I'm going on a diet and making some changes. So I look like for low-calorie alternatives. So I eat everything now in turkey form rather than eating, you know, I mean, I do eat hamburgers sometimes, but turkey burgers, turkey bacon. Turkey bacon tastes like almost like real bacon.
Hang on really quick.
I'm hanging.
Okay. Okay, roll back into turkeys.
Turkeys make for terrible support animals, in my opinion, and great food. What do you think?
I think they can make good both.
Okay,
why
sure.
Why not both?
Okay, devil's advocate. They're great. Turkeys are great. But speaking of other people, planes, and animals, a Vietnamese guy got caught on a flight. I think this might have been last week. But he was trying to smuggle, check us out, live birds. So he had these little birds in these little bags. Like they're like, you know, the bags over their head, like a little nylon sack tied up. And he had them strapped to his leg.
He was trying to get through security with birds strapped to his leg.
He had these little birds. Oh, I don't have the video, but here's the bit of all the birds he had strapped to his leg.
Good God.
Like a ton of birds. Like, and they're like in these little sacks. Like he had them.
Are they dead?
No, they're alive. They're live birds. They're exotic birds. They say that these birds pull about $1,200 on the black market.
Jesus Christ.
There's a bunch of them. But, like, he had him strapped to his leg like he was trying to smuggle heroin across the border or something. I gotta find the picture of the man. I gotta find the picture of the man smuggling birds, because there's a picture of them actually on his leg. And it's pretty... Yeah, let's see right here. So he has him, like, strapped to his leg.
I feel really bad for those birds.
Yeah, for the birds and for the what? Oh my God, that's hilarious though. Like they run X-rays. Maybe they don't in Vietnam. Maybe they don't do like us here. They're not super. Could be different, right?
Yeah, other countries are different.
Yeah, but I guess there's okay. So the illegal trade of wildlife and major is an international problem and is believed to be a blank amount a year business. What do you think that number is? What do you think the
Are
number
we playing
in there?
A guessing game for fucked
guessing
up
game.
Illicit black market bullshit? Okay.
Yes.
I don't know. Let's see. Black market, wildlife trade, 500 million?
10 billion.
$10 billion
a year business.
Jesus Christ.
Well, I guess they probably other animals, like maybe exotic snakes or something.
Like you said animals, so obviously that's not just birds.
Yes, Caitlin, I get that.
Animals covers a plethora of different species.
It does, plethora. Humans. Plethora, word I don't know, don't use. I'm lying, I'm joking. I'm joking.
Are you lying?
I'm Lion King. I am the Lion King. So I think this is hilarious. And it's funny to see all that shit strapped to your leg. You might as well just smuggle in drugs. It'd be smaller and worth way more money.
Maybe not.
Yeah, $1,200 each for each bird.
It'd be worth more than heroin.
I have a ring in my ear right now. Somebody's talking about me. It's very loud.
Are they talking about the birds you smuggled in last month?
I don't smuggle birds. I don't smuggle anything. I don't smuggle anything. I'm here to tell you that on my podcast.
It's definitely the voice of truth.
All right. Hey, here we go. Let's do a skit on this. Let's do a skit on smuggling some animals through the airport.
Sir, what is that tweeting coming from your pants?
Nothing. That's nothing. I just got an extra leg.
Well, either that's a really ferocious and very bizarre STD you have, or you're trying to smuggle something into the country. I'm going to need to take you aside, sir.
No, you don't. Actually, I have rights here in Vietnam. I mean, you can't just stop me because I have elephantitis of the leg.
Being head of customs in Vietnam and considering that you are a foreign national visiting this country, I believe that I do have the right to pull you aside and examine you, sir.
Actually, you do not have that right. And I have the paperwork here saying that I can have elephantitis of a leg and get through the airport without any x-rays or anything. You don't have to. Don't harass me. Seriously.
Paperwork like that doesn't exist, you fucking scumbag.
It does exist. In this reality, it does exist.
You can't break the fourth wall and just make up a rule just because I've got you over a barrel. Now step aside, sir, and drop your fucking pants because I need to see what's tweeting under there.
Well, the last time I dropped my pants in an airport, this was very different and involved other kinds of animals. Go ahead. Do what you gotta do.
Okay, sir, you're under arrest. You're under arrest for being fucking belligerent and loud.
No woman can arrest me. I'm a man.
What? Yes, I can arrest you. All right, I'm putting you in handcuffs.
Oh, yeah.
Locked. Okay, now I have you in handcuffs, and you're going to Vietnamese prison.
No, I'm not. Those are zip ties, and I just broke through them, punk. Punk-ass chick. Don't take authority from women. I'm joking. This went horribly wrong.
This went horribly wrong, I believe, because you're on a lot of heroin.
I am. So I'm through it. See you later. I'm such an idiot sometimes. Seriously. The real me. This is the real me speaking. I'm an idiot sometimes. I think I'm nervous because I'm... Just because you're on the podcast. I don't know. Seriously, I've never been so nervous podcasting with somebody. I feel like I can't let you down, but I've already done it like 4 times.
What?
Yeah.
It's okay. You're doing fine.
No, I'm not. Actually, I'm not. I'm not doing it. I got some would you rathers to lighten up the mood. I can't wait to hear what all this sounds like after all the editing I got to do. I wonder if this is going to sound like a smooth conversation. Welcome to the Smooth Hour with Sean.
That's good. Keep that.
Horribly awkward. Well, check this out from Mr. Matt Bradford from ZombieCast and Video Game Outsiders, which can be found on the All Games Network and Riotcast Network. You could find those guys. Matt Bradford. Matt Bradford also does the Social Dozen with myself, Sean Fuller. He left me some would-you-rathers. Here they are. This is funny that this is actually a would-you-rather, but would you rather have a ring in your ear for the rest of your life? That was not planned. or not be able to taste any food?
I could probably cope with the ear ringing. Because, you know, I worked in retail for a long time. And they play really horrible music in most stores. And eventually, I just couldn't hear the music anymore. I assume the ringing, the same thing would happen. So I'm going to say ear ringing and taste all the food.
Well, ear ringing is almost like a physical feeling at some point. Just like this buzz. You feel a vibration in your ear, kind of. Tasting any food, I can give up that because I'm a food addict. I'm a foodie. If I give up tasting a food, I wouldn't be eating anymore for the fun of eating food and tasting it. I'd only eat to survive so I can eat... I can eat only broccoli and Brussels sprouts and stuff like that, which I love. I do eat that a lot. But, you know, I would just eat stuff that's good for me instead of eating In-N-Out all the time and Carl's Jr. and Taco Bell.
I'm a foodie, so I like to cook a lot of my own food. So I would probably not want to give up taste because I like tasting delicious food.
So do I. I do too. But not when it controls my life.
Does Carl's Jr. control your life?
No, donuts do, though. I have a really serious heart issue with donuts. I seriously can't say no sometimes. And I don't bring money with me because if I go to the donut shop, they have a lot of 24-hour donut shops. If you go to use my credit card or my debit card or, you know, my debit, they charge an extra amount. So it makes one donut ridiculously high. So I do not bring cash on me. So I have to pay extra to eat these donuts. And I'm hoping it'll make me not want to stop. But no, I stop and I pay this ridiculous amount for a fucking apple fritter. And I hate myself for it and feel like shit for the rest of the night. And they get down on me, and then I talk about it on a podcast, and it's like a joke, but it's not a joke. This really happens to me every night at work. I'm driving by the place. All right, here's the donut shop. It's in one block. Here it comes. I'm getting closer. No, I could drive by. I could do this, and I could just prove to myself I don't need a fucking apple fritter. I don't need sprinkles. I don't need old-fashioned chocolate dipped. I don't need this stuff. And then I'm like right there at the driveway. I'm like, quick right, beeline, in my work truck, and I'm buying donuts.
That needs to be a bit. That was really funny.
It's not a bit. That's like real shit.
That was just That describes every morning, because there's a coffee shop right down the street from my apartment that sells freshly baked donuts every morning.
Mm-hmm.
And they only have a certain amount every morning, and they always have a new flavor every morning.
Mm.
And I wake up early enough to have my pick of the donuts, because they have just been put out when Thor needs to go to the bathroom. And I'm like, oh, I really want a donut.
I
need the donut. And now I really want one of those fucking donuts. God damn it, Sean.
Yes. Yes. That's I should write comedy and just take these things that I do for real. Because, I mean, I can go into so many of these real stupid stories that I go through these battles. No, you got to come. Caitlin, you got to come over here to California. Next time you're here, I'll meet you. We'll go ice cream shopping at the store, at like Walmart, Safeway, Albertsons, whatever. You'll see how long it takes me to pick out a flavor of fucking ice cream. I sit there and look at everyone like, okay, I want this one. Oh, this one's the Girl Scout cookies. No, no, should I just go with the mint ice cream? No, wait, I want cookies and cream. No, I want this one. And I'll sit there. If anybody goes with me, they get pissed off. They're just standing there like, come on, dude, pick the ice cream. It's just ice cream. I'm like, I can't. I can only get one flavor. My life is complicated, guys. So complicated. But my answer is I'm getting rid of that food flavor, so I won't want those donuts no more. I don't want that ring. And also, Matt Bradford says, would you rather be forced to pull out all of your adult teeth or cut off your own pinky with a plastic knife?
Ooh. That's really difficult. See, if I cut off my pinky in the long term... Actually, no, cut off my pinky with a plastic knife. That's a no-brainer, because then I can pretend that I was in the Japanese mafia.
Okay, yeah.
Tattoo. Or I can put on a fake finger, which they have those. Or I can just kind of carve out a really cool decorative prosthetic that makes that pinky look like one really long black claw.
Yeah.
That would look really cool. See, the pinky has... infinite cosmetic options that could make it look badass and could give it a badass story, but all your teeth are gone, and then you just have fake teeth for no reason. I want to keep my real teeth for as long as possible, because I have really good real teeth.
Yeah, I wish I had really good real teeth. I'm just imagining I'm just imagining pulling out one tooth. Like, fuck that. I hate the dentist. Yeah.
It would hurt a lot. And it sounds like if we're cutting off our pinky with a plastic knife, there's no Novocaine involved.
And you're going to need multiple knives because they're going to break.
Well, I mean, no Novocaine involved for your mouth, because if it's the most painful way possible for both.
Mm-hmm.
But if I had a lot of alcohol, a plastic knife, and my pinky.
Yeah, that would be a great.
Probably get through it.
That'd be a great party trick. Watch me cut off my knife! With those plastic knives, though, you need the really good ones. You can't use the one you get at, like, KFC. That just would fucking break. You'd have to go buy a really good plastic knife. But
good plastic knives. Because there are... What? Did you drop?
No. I was just thinking, like, I don't want to do this. I'm opting out of this, would you rather? Actually, I can't do that. That's fucking cheating.
Why are you opting out? Are you
paying
us right now?
No, I'll cut off the pinky. Because teeth, just pulling out one tooth, I can imagine, and then pulling out all the six teeth that I have left. I mean, that's
you
insane.
You only have six teeth left?
No, I got more than six teeth. But I have had a lot of teeth work. And, fuck the dentist. I went there the other day. I'm an adult. Like, Caitlin, I'm an adult now. I'm like, I'm an adult. I'm going to make a dentist appointment for no reason. I'm just going to make an appointment to go in for a checkup, because that's what adults do, and I've never done that in my life. So I did it, and I went in, and like, oh, I got two cavities. Not a big deal. That's cheap. It's easy. Get in there and drill and put some fillings in there. I don't give a shit. But then like, oh, look, do you have any problems on the other side of your mouth right here? And I'm like, no. He's like, because, you know, last time when we put that cap in, you know, they did the root canal. Like, I guess it's not sitting in there right. So now they got to take that out and do the whole thing over again. So I got to take it out, put a fake one in there for like 2 weeks, some bullshit, and sucks. I got to go do that Wednesday. I hate it.
That sucks. Yeah. I've been making appointments to go to the dentist for a while because adulting. And I had I had a couple cavities and I got those filled, but fortunately I don't need anything else. That sucks balls.
I hate it.
Process went really smoothly. I'm sorry about yours.
And yeah, I've had like, plus all of my, you know, substance abuse and shit. Obviously I have a lot of issues, but like going to the dentist is like the worst for me. Not the drilling part. I hate when you get the shot and it's like, it stings for a minute. It's a lot of pressure. It's keeping my jaw open, like wider. And it just hurts and it burns. And I'm like, I just want to tap out. I'm seriously going to tap out.
Oh, I always pay $60 for nitrous. Always. I can't handle the sound of the drill in my ear. It's like really nerve-wracking for me. I tend to like struggle and freak out a lot when I hear the drilling noise going on in my mouth. So I always pay extra for nitrous.
I don't even know if they have nitrous at the one I'm at. Maybe they do. They usually do.
The laughing gas is typically extra.
I'm bringing my own nitrous. Just... Nitrous. Yeah, I'm going to do this. You guys work fast. It only lasts 30 seconds.
Have you ever seen Whitest Kids You Know PCP?
No. Whitest Kids You Know, that sounds really familiar.
They were very popular a few years ago, and then they kind of fizzled out. They were a sketch comedy, an early sketch comedy group on YouTube.
I think I have seen that. I don't think I've seen that video, but they make other videos and stuff, right?
They did. I think one of their more well-known ones was The Grapist, which was really hilarious. And then PCP, I think, is my favorite one because it's this really awkward conversation going on between two ex-high school buddies who've run into each other at the park, and one of them has a gallon of PCP.
Yes, I've seen that. Yes, and it just
so
says PCP
like,
on it.
I'll just bring my own. I was just imagining you in that PCP situation with, like, just carrying around your own nitrous.
Yeah, I remember doing nitrous when I was, like, 18. What a horrible... Yeah, because they sold that. Like, and over here in the Bay Area, it was big, where, like, they just have... You buy the cracker for, like, $12, and then you buy a case of nitrous things for, like, whipped cream or whatever. The little cylinders, it was, like...
What?
$12 for 24 of them, and you just put it in the cracker, you put a punching bag balloon on top, and then you float away in outer space. They're staring at me. Like, what? That's not a thing everywhere? I thought everyone did that.
Oh, honey.
What, nobody else does this? Nobody did Whippets, even whipped cream bottles? Now I just sound like I said I huff gas or
it's
paint.
Gonna be okay. It's gonna be okay, bald Sean.
It's gonna be okay. This was when I was fucked. That's like 15, 16, 17, I don't know math. Like a lot of years ago. 1998.
Okay. It's gonna be okay.
That's probably why I'm so stupid. I swear it's probably why I'm so stupid. Since everything's a bummer, let's talk about some fun stuff. Let's talk about some comic books.
Okay.
Are you okay?
Yeah, no, I'm okay.
What's going on? I can't see. It's all blurry.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. So I can't really see what's going on? I feel like you're making fun of me.
I'm always making fun of you.
Thank you.
That's safe to assume. Safe.
Yeah, talk about some comics. You're a big comic. I want to get into comics. Where do I start?
Okay. Well, I guess if we're starting bare bones, Marvel or DC.
But where do I start, though?
And I'm not including indie shit, because indie shit is across the board. You can pick up any indie titles you want. But if we're talking about starting with traditional superhero comics, it's Marvel or DC. Which one do you start with?
Yeah, which one do I start with? I've read one comic book.
What do you like?
Okay, I'll be honest. I don't like to read.
Okay, don't like to
but
read.
But I have to do that for comics. I have to read.
Adventure Time is great for beginner readers.
Okay.
It is a comic that is by Boom Studios, and it's done for a probably 10 and up reading level. 10 years old and up reading level. So
I might be able to handle that.
You'd be good. You'd be good with that. Adventure Time is pretty fast-paced. their individual stories. I really like Marceline Gone Adrift. So if you already like Adventure Time, Marceline Gone Adrift and then the Ice King standalone series are both really good. So if you want like early readers, sort of chewable, easy to read, quick to get through kind of comic, I definitely suggest a lot of things by Boom Studios. Over the Garden Wall is also great. Their standalone was fantastic. Bean Puppy Cat is awesome.
Okay, so out of all seriousness, I'm okay with reading. I've always hated reading, but I've always been interested in comics. I guess I'm too lazy to read. I just never read them. But I'm always jealous of people who, when they go see movies, they have all these background things, and you go see a Marvel movie, and you wait after the credits, and you see some cool thing, and I'm like, I don't know what the fuck that is. And everyone else is excited besides me, and I feel like shit. So I'm not sure.
If you want to start with something so that you don't feel left out, Marvel is a really good thing to start with because all the big movies are Marvel. Marvel, in general, puts in a lot of Easter eggs in their movies, and including in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and I'm assuming eventually when they do Inhumans as a TV series, they'll put it in there. But Jessica Jones, Daredevil.
Jessica Jones, and, I love that. I love the show.
Yeah, no, very good. Yeah, but like Jessica Jones, Daredevil, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and then all the Marvel movies, they all have a lot of Easter eggs in them. So if you start with reading some of those comics from Marvel, you'll probably be pretty good. House of M is fucking fantastic. Most of the storylines from House of M are really great. My favorite is the Scarlet Witch storyline. That's X-Men. What you can do is you can read Civil War before the movie comes out.
Yeah, I should, huh? I only got 2 weeks.
Can read Civil War before the movie comes out. That would be a great thing to catch up on, and that way you can catch all of the Easter eggs in there. Howard the Duck you could read. Howard the Duck just fairly recently got started, or not started, but got restarted. So Howard the Duck was kind of a lesser-known Marvel comic, pretty 80s. And they kind of just rekindled it pretty recently. It was an absolutely terrible movie.
Oh, I watched that movie many times.
Yes, it was a terrible movie. And then it was but it's always been kind of a little bit of a sassy, tongue-in-cheek kind of comic. And they've restarted it recently. And it's actually not that bad. It's pretty good. So I'd suggest that.
I want powerful female characters.
Okay, well, we've got Silk has come out recently. If you kind of want that film noir, spy, assassin sort of feel, Black Widow just got her first standalone. So that's awesome. I read the first one, and then I left for Japan for 2 weeks, a little bit more than 2 weeks. So I haven't picked up issues 2 and 3 yet. But the first Black Widow that came out was pretty good. Definitely felt like it was directed by Michael Bay.
Awesome. So
it's a really quick read. It took me about 10 seconds to get through it. So if you don't like reading, that first issue is for you. And Mockingbird, I actually really enjoyed. So Mockingbird has sort of been, historically, she's kind of been this a side character. And she recently got her own standalone, which is really cool. And it picks up where a lot of her sort of side character exploits left off and is giving her sort of her own story. And it's, they Tarantino the comic. So it starts at the end and then you go journey to get back to the end.
I like that.
So it's kind of cool. The first issue, naturally, because they're Tarantinoing it, is very confusing, but it's very confusing in a cool way, in the sense that it's very stimulating and you really want to know what's happening and it looks really interesting. So
Mockingbird.
Mockingbird was good. A lot of Marvel's female standalones have been really strong, actually. They've been killing it recently. So, and then Hellcat, I've really been enjoying. So Hellcat is light and fluffy. Really fun, about a character named Patsy Walker, and like some of the other female standalones, it picks up where she left off in her really old school renditions when they drop the character, when Marvel dropped the character, basically, and they pick it back up again.
She's the one that was in Jessica Jones, the show, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, Hellcat is in Jessica Jones.
Well, sort of, and she takes that drug. Oh, that was fucking, that was the best episode ever when she took that with drug and she was fucking flipping out and punching shit. Yes. I loved it. I loved it. It was so random for me.
I think you'll like Hellcat. I think you
should
definitely read Hellcat.
I liked Jessica Jones a lot. That was like one of my favorite things. I don't really get into like the Marvel shows. I just don't really care for them, except for the ones that Netflix does, which I think are outstanding.
Daredevil and Jessica Jones are really, really strong. And then I feel like DC's TV shows have been really strong. So like Flash, Arrow's kind of... I mean, Flash is really CW-y, but Arrow is super CW. Like,
yeah. I watched like the first 5 episodes.
Yeah, Arrow, if you want to fangirl real, real hard and just be covered in cheese all the time, just sweet, sweet cheese, Arrow is for you. I feel like if you're not super into that, maybe not so much. Flash is really solid. I really like Flash. It has a great amount of cheese and seriousness. It's a great cheese and crackers combo. Gotham, I love Gotham. I feel like it captures the Batman universe very well, but while still being one of those just outside of canon things. They take a lot of, they have a lot of homages to Bruce Timm and Tim Burton in Gotham. Stylistically, which I really enjoy, and they play off of the comics very well while being sort of their own thing. So if you're not a purist, Gotham is a really, really great series.
I watched the first whole season, which it's very strange to watch seasons when they're like 24 episodes long. It fucking trips me out. It's a lot of dedication. And I watched the second season up to the part with that fake Joker thing, and I got pissed off.
Yeah, it's because I feel like DC has been moving in a new direction, or kind of a different direction with the Joker, and they've sort of been signposting for it, in the sense that the Joker is not just this one person. The Joker is kind of a virus that infects various people. So there's more than one Joker. Sometimes there's more than one Harley. You know, and they sort of play off of this idea that the madness that Joker is infected with is this overarching thing, overarching entity within Gotham that's slightly magical and slightly medical. I've always felt that Batman's played really well with magical realism, and I'd love it if they made that sort of Joker idea canon. I think it'd be really good because it'd be a great way to refresh a staple villain.
Yeah, I like the Joker as a villain. I mean, who's the Joker in the Suicide Squad?
Oh, are you talking about the actor?
Yeah, I think that's a great Joker. Going to be awesome. All of a sudden, I forgot. I wouldn't know this any other time.
It's hilarious. It's Jared Leto. That's right.
Jared Leto.
I always forget.
Oh, it's going to be fantastic.
I know I shouldn't, but I'm terrible with actor names.
I skipped Batman Begins, and then I watched The Dark Knight, and then, you know, after seeing Heath Ledger play the Joker, I was like all in. Then I went back and watched Batman Begins, and I loved Batman, the third one, right? You know, not a lot of people loved it, but I thought it was fucking awesome. And I don't know. I can't wait for Suicide Squad. I think it's going to be great.
I'm really excited for Suicide Squad too. I think what a lot of people don't understand. So what I see most complaint-wise about Suicide Squad is that it's not the real Batman. And when people are talking about the real Batman and the real Joker and the real Harley Quinn, is a lot of them are talking about Bruce Timm's Harley, Joker, and Batman because it's so staple and solidified and iconic. Those kind of his style and his way of portraying Joker and Harley. And of course, Tim created Harley. So people think of that as the real Harley. And then a lot of people have played off on Harley. But what's difficult, I think, for a lot of people and even a lot of fans, because every fan has their favorite version of the character, to understand is that each writer in each series has sort of their own feel and their own entity and their own way of portraying the characters. So like Bruce Timm's Harley Quinn. So a lot of people are like, Suicide Squad is ruining Harley Quinn and is making her kind of a blonde bimbo and
she shows
too much skin. If you've seen the comic book version of her fucking costume, it sucks. The comic book version, I love Suicide Squad as a comic because I love things that are fucking cheesy as shit and hilarious. Yeah. I like Suicide Squad because Suicide Squad is Dirty Dozen, but with Batman villains. That's basically what Suicide Squad is. It's amazing. And I like things that are cheesy, so I like it. But a lot of people are like, it's too cheesy. These team-ups are stupid. It's just Brave and the Bold with villains. But that's kind of the whole point. Harley's costume looks stupid. It does. Harley's costume looks really stupid. The movie version is way better than her comic book version of that fucking costume. And the thing is that New 52 Suicide Squad gives Harley a lot more autonomy. And Harley Quinn, New 52/Suicide Squad, is very independent. She's kind of separate from the Joker, and her origin story is slightly different. She still gets her superpowers from Poison Ivy. She, you know, is still Harleen Quinzel in the beginning, you know, hardworking psychologist/psychiatrist. You know, she's still all of those things. The only difference is that Joker pushes her into the same vat of acid that he fell into as the Red Hood, which bleaches her skin and dyes her hair, giving her a new look, and then kind of makes her crazy. But she was already a little bit cray before she fell into the vat. The vat just kind of solidified that level of cray in her to begin with. And then almost right after she takes her little dip into the bleach bath, she separates herself from the Joker and runs off and bangs Deadshot for funsies.
For funsies.
For funsies. Like, she separates from the Joker pretty quickly after that and becomes very independent. And, you know, Suicide Squad goes into her backstory a lot more in depth than Bruce Timm goes into her backstory, I feel like. She's very much Joker sidekick. And primarily Joker's sidekick in Bruce Timm, whereas in New 52, she's kind of her own character and has her own thing and has a much stronger sort of sense of identity than she has in the original. So I like her for all of that. I know a lot of people will disagree with me on that, but I feel like if you gave her New 52 standalone a shot, and if you gave her Suicide Squad a shot for what it is, you know, which is cheesy and fun, then you'd kind of see that she's a little bit more independent. Sorry, I'm a huge Harley Quinn fan. If you can see, I've got my animated series cell behind me here. I actually have two cells from the animated series that feature Harley Quinn and Batman and Harley Quinn and Joker.
That's awesome. I feel so left out. Like, for me, just a moviegoer the position of just a moviegoer, just I like to go watch movies because I think they're fun. Like the Suicide Squad, just to me, just seems like I watch the trailers. It's so much fun. Yes,
I would read New 52 Suicide Squad because it is very fun, and that's what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be really fun. It's got Harley Quinn's backstory in it, but I like that, and I hope that they include it in the right way in the movie. You know, she's going to get her acid, her bleach bath from the Joker, maybe a little bit of acid. And then I hope it follows the comics. That's all I hope for, because the comic is a lot of fun.
Do you feel like from a person who reads the comics and knows all the lore and the stories and stuff, when you go watch movies, do you get disappointed when they don't follow it?
No, actually, I don't. If they do it the right way and they really keep the spirit of the comics in there, that's really what I'm looking for. I'm looking for them to keep the feel and the personalities of the characters to the source material. So I feel like whereas comic book writers and artists can kind of go off and make the character their own, like, you know, Dodson's Harley Quinn, she's not really ditzy. She's very film noir, really sharp, like a spy assassin kind of character. That's so super different from the original representation of Harley and then Harley Quinn's even in the future. Like, I feel like comic book writers can sort of take their own way with it, but I feel like movie writers should hold to their source material when making movies about superheroes. So, like, if you're pulling from Suicide Squad, I'm really hoping that they keep the characters solid and true to the comics, and I'm hoping that they really keep the feel and the pacing of the comics pretty well. I know that's a... Because, I don't know, movies, it's hard to keep everything in a movie. You've got about, I mean, what, 2 hours? So you have a little less than 120 pages to work with in a movie. 120 pages of direction and dialogue to cram in three or more comics. And that's quite a lot to ask for. So if it's not exact, I never hold it against them. Mm-hmm. If it's a good movie, it's a good movie. I try to separate it a little bit from the comics. Because if it's a good movie, that's all I want.
The the Batman versus Superman movie. You've seen that probably, right?
No, I left for Japan right when it came out. And then I haven't gone to see it because I'm afraid. It's gotten such bad reviews.
I liked it.
Really?
I like it. I think the editing was poorly done. It just jumped around a lot. I thought they put music where it didn't need music. But I guess the uncut version of it is like over 4 hours long. So when you hear that and you go in there and you see how they made these cuts, you'll kind of see why. But I liked it. I thought the second half of the movie was solid, like awesomeness.
Really? Okay. So I should probably go and give it a chance. I'm just so worried because DC with the movies, not only are they way, way off from their source material, but a lot of times they're just bad movies. Like the Christian Bale Batman, especially 1 and 2, really, really good. Mm-hmm. Really good. But since then, DC just historically with the movies just can never seem to pull it out. It's like the Spider-Man movies. They're just cursed.
They are, but I mean, Spider-Man showing up in Civil War might change that.
I hope they do a good job with Spidey in Civil War. I'm excited.
That little kid who plays Spider-Man, the little youngster, he does all of his own shit. I was watching some videos on YouTube. He's doing his own flips and shit.
Jesus, his own flips and shit?
Oh, his own flips and shit. Like he's doing crazy. You got to watch videos. I forget his name. Tom something.
Okay.
But it's crazy. Like he's doing, I think he's going to be the next Tom Cruise.
Read Civil War. Read Civil War. Read, to be quite honest, Ultimate Spider-Man kind of ruined Spider-Man for me, so I'm not sure if you want to read it.
Here's my list that I wrote down from you. I don't know where I'm going to pick, but I'm going to try to get to at least one of these soon. Mockingbird, Silk, Black Widow, Hellcat, and Suicide Squad.
And Suicide Squad, for sure. Also, Snyder's Batman is really good. It's been really good. Snyder's Batman. So I'd suggest that.
Maybe.
That's the most recent ongoing Batman story. Like, Court of Owls is Snyder. Snyder is so good with the creepy. He's so good with it, which I think is why he makes a good Batman writer. He did a series called American Vampire and Witches, which if you're into horror, really good series.
That sounds really cool. Are you into, like, Walking Dead comics?
Yeah. I've read The Walking Dead.
I should probably read that because that's stuff I'm already engaged with. I feel like I would. Tomb Raider. I love to read the Tomb Raider comics. I read the first episode of the new Tomb Raider one. And that's all I've read. That's my only comic I've ever read.
If you like comics based off of video games and cartoons, mm-hmm. Samurai Jack, the comic series continued after the show. So Samurai if you like Jack. Samurai Jack from Cartoon Network, you would probably like the comics a lot.
I haven't heard of that.
Samurai Jack is really good. It's all on Hulu. You can binge all of it on Hulu right now. Or Netflix. Oh. It's on Hulu or Netflix, I can't remember. But
I watched
really fucking good.
Legend of Korra, that was pretty awesome.
Legend of Korra is good. That also continues in comic book form.
Does it? Okay, you perked my ears, because I saw an IGN review, like, it was an awesome cartoon, so, like, let me check this out, and I end up binge-watching the entire series in, like, a week.
Avatar, The Last Airbender, and Legend of Korra are pretty good. Samurai Jack, you will really like, so I definitely watch/read Samurai Jack. Adventure Time, naturally, if you haven't yet. And then there is a one-shot, or there's a mini series and one shot comic called Over the Garden Wall, which is very, very good. And I would definitely watch that. That's on Hulu as well.
I got so much homework to do.
And then if you want a really good cartoon movie that's just floating around on Netflix right now, Secret of Kells.
Secret of Kells. How do you spell it?
K-E-L-L-S. And Secret, I'm assuming you know how to spell Secret.
Secret. Come on, I'm not that dumb. I look like it, but I'm not.
Ryan Seacrest of Kells.
Okay, I feel like I dragged you through a fucking train wreck this entire podcast. I don't know where my mind's been. I don't know what's going on here. This is not normal.
It is okay. Normal. Okay.
It's totally normal. This is what I want to do. I have an idea. Shoot it down if you want, but I try to get to something on this list. I have comic book buddies. Gabe Olea from the Uncanny X-Bros podcast. Those guys are really into comics. I want to find something that he's read. Maybe if I can get something he's read, I've read, you've read, we can talk about it.
That would be cool. We can do that.
And I'll be the dummy who's trying to figure things out, and you guys can break it down for me.
Oh, that would be fun. That would be really fun. Let's do that. I want to do that.
Okay, I'll see what he knows of any of this stuff, and then because I know he's super into comics, that's his thing. And I think we're done. I think we hit the end.
Do it.
Let's go. Hakenosanisso. Is that Chinese?
Let's go. Yahoo.
Woohoo! I feel like the train is back on rails and we're starting. And I forgot to record this whole thing, so.
Did you really?
No, I'm just kidding. That would suck. No, it's all here. It's all here. It's all great. It feels like it's way longer than it actually is because there wasn't like a half hour of downtime. But.
Yeah, because my dog was like, I went poo on the poo pad. Yay. Now I'm going to drag the poo off of the poo pad and then roll around in it because I am the mighty Thor and nobody tells me what to do.
Yeah, you're so proud of him.
Why am I taking a bath? The mighty Thor takes no baths.
I take no baths. Damn it.
The mighty Thor was very upset about his bath at first, and then he realized you could play with the washcloth, and he was good.
Imagine you'd like that warm water. Or was it not warm? Was it cold water? Maybe that's why he got pissed. Take a no, cold water bath, bitch.
My puppy takes baths in correct temperatured water, which is slightly warm and not hot.
Okay, I'm glad you got the correct slightly warm and not hot. It's very scientific.
He just did not like the sound that the water was making. But then when he realized that you could play with washcloths in the bath and chew on them and drag them around, he was fine.
Life is good. Life is good for dogs.
Life was good for Thor after he figured out you could play with washcloths in the bath.
It's like, Mom is really proud of me for peeing, jumping over this fence and peeing in the right place. Fuck that. I'm shitting on myself and rolling in it.
I was like Thor. I think we named him Thor because I originally wanted to name him Chris Hemsworth, but my boyfriend wouldn't let me. But seriously, if he had had his original name, Chris Hemsworth shit himself and rolled in it.
That's fucking awesome. You're not going to get that on any other podcast besides Horribly Awkward. Shit happens,
and then you roll in it.
All right, Caitlin, there's only one thing left to do.
What?
Ayo, Freeman.
Yo, what's up, Iams?
Dude, what's left to do?
Got him, man. Wrap it up, son.
Okay, on pretty much everything, I am at that sea monster. At THAT, the letter C, monster. Because my name starts with the C. It's a sea monster. It's a pun because I'm a comedian and I'm very funny.
You are.
So, yes, I'm fucking hilarious. So follow me at That Sea Monster on Instagram and Twitter. You can find me on Facebook at That Sea Monster or Caitlin T. McAtee. I friend most people unless you are obviously creepy. I'll friend you even if you are obviously creepy. Mm-hmm. If you are obviously a serial killer, I will still probably friend you. Just follow me at That Sea Monster. You can check out my YouTube channel at That Sea Monster. I will be posting videos from my trip to Japan and videos of my adorable dog, the Mighty Thor, shitting and rolling in it, which is what he just did, which is why I had to take a bath. Make him take a bath. I did not take a bath. He took a bath. I will probably also take a bath from giving him a bath. A lot of baths.
A lot of
anyway,
baths.
Anyway, at That Sea Monster on everything. This is the Horribly Awkward Podcast, where awkwardness is horribly infectious.
It definitely is. I am a dummy.
Oh, no.
I am a dummy. But you guys know all my regular stuff. Horribly Awkward is a part of the BS Podcast Network, so you can find me over at bspodcastnetwork.com, along with all the other great shows. Pure BS Podcast, Science Faction, Real Stupid Podcast, Geek Dig, Bitches Who Do Work, Dropping Loads, Warpod, The XD Experience, all those awesome podcasts. I'm also on the Social Dozen. You guys can find me on there once a month, at Social Dozen on Twitter. At @awkward_podcast is my Twitter account. Or at They Call Me Iams. You can find me. That's my on all my gaming platforms. That's what it is. And that's my personal Twitter at They Call Me Iams. Iams is spelled just like the dog food, just like the stuff that Thor eats.
Yeah.
And I'm not done. Another show is Horrible Gamers, so find us once a week on the All Games Radio Network. We do a live show on Saturdays at 7 p.m. at allgames.com/live every Saturday. And we're going to hit 100 episodes in 2 weeks, guys, so that's going to be pretty awesome. I'm excited.
I did jazz hands. I was so excited.
She definitely did in a pixelated form. And voicemail, 510-600-3475. That's 510-600-3475. I want to thank Caitlin for all of her patience and weirdness that I just put her through. And we finally bonded at the end over comics. Finally found something to bond, and I'm not even all the way there yet, but this is gonna happen, guys, so expect a future episode with Gabe, most likely. I'm telling you right now, Gabe's got to do it, and Caitlin and me.
Yes.
If you're on Stitcher, give me a thumbs up. If you're on iTunes, rate and review, please give me 5 stars. I would appreciate it. Caitlin, what is one thing you've learned on today's show?
Awkwardness is an airborne disease inherited through the ears.
That is so true.
As Gidget would say, peace out, Brussels sprout.
Boom.
Boom.
Perfect.
See, I sounded like girl Squidward.
Squidward. This is gonna be too much fun. I'm already having too much fun. We just make noises and shit and sing songs.
Oh.
I've never done that before. All right.
You never just made noises and sung songs?
I do like off recordings, but I never do it on recordings. Like, you know, when it's just a bunch of people around, you know, like when you party with your friends when you're younger and at the end of the night, everyone's still wide awake and you have no energy, but you can still talk. So you're just like making noises and saying stupid shit. And everyone's laughing.
I love how you're like, you know, when you were younger and full of hope and remember that, Caitlin? I'm still there, Sean.
I'm talking about myself. I'm talking about 18, 19, and I'm 35.
I just turned 27. You're old.
I got 8 years. You can see it in my hairline.
Your hairline says you're about 75.
Oh, yeah, I look just like my grandpa. You ready to roll?
Thor! Yeah.
Thor's ready to roll.
Thor is always ready to roll. Thor is super pup.
Super pup! Okay, I'm ready.
The mighty Thor! I had to pull him out of my handbag anyway because he likes to crawl in there because I always leave stuff there.
Does he have a hammer?
The mighty Thor! I ordered him a hammer chew toy on Amazon, and that should be here soon.
fuck. That's awesome.
And I also got him a costume. But you'll have to wait a month before you're big enough to wear it.
Okay, that's going to be sure. Awesome.
Enjoy roaming the couch.
All right.
He does not get to be on the couch very often, so this is like a really big day for him.
Big day for Thor.
He looked at the computer like, what?
Yesterday I was like, oh, I wonder if Caitlin's boyfriend got mad because I was like talking shit. He's like, who the fuck is this guy talking shit?
No. He just had a really rough day yesterday.
Oh. I was like, hey.
It was just one of those days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's every day for me.
Thor ate his homework. It was rough.
Really? Or no? Does that really happen, eating homework?
Dogs really do eat homework, surprisingly. Thor loves paper, so I could see that happening really, really easily. Thor, do you like paper? He has burrowed himself all the way underneath about 4 blankets now. He likes it under there, I guess.
I'm gonna unplug these wall outlets so you don't electrocute yourself.
Alright. Are we recording?
Oh yeah, it's recording. But I'm gonna
cool.
I'm gonna clip all this shit out, yeah. I don't clip it out. I take all the weird shit that doesn't make it and I move that towards the end. It's like a long, like 3-minute song at the end, music, and I just throw like all the random shit in the back so people listen to the end. If not, you may or not be hearing this. Okay. Are you ready, Caitlin?
I'm ready.
As ready as I'll ever be.
As ready as all. Yeah, that.